I think there's a few people from the last session, which was really great. This is kind of a double act and a back-to-back. My name is Reid Purvis. If you weren't in the last session, that was all about hybrid cloud backup, so backing up capabilities from on-premises or potentially other clouds. Some of this will be from other clouds as well, and how that can back up to Azure. You can restore back on-premises, of course. What this session is about is more focusing on the actual IaaS backup within Azure. And what we've got is a lot of demos in here, basically going through the interface, going through some of the details. Co-presenting with me today is Shivam Garg. Shivam is, introduce yourself, Shivam. You're on?
Yeah, I'm principal. Is it working?
Yep.
At the back? Okay. I'm the principal program manager in the Azure backup team. So Shivam, I'm from the product group.
He's from the product group. So when I have a question, actually, I'm supposed to go. He's actually now. I can't talk to him anymore because he's forced me to go through another intermediate person. But hopefully, I've got a little bit of connection today. So we're going to go through this. So as we go through the questions, I've still got some shirts here available. If you haven't got one before, I've got about another six or eight
seven,
or something
eight.
Of that nature. Let's make it interactive. Just to kind of tell you a little bit of a story as I've gone through this, I had a large enterprise customer working with an outsourcer back in February and March earlier this year. And they were in the process of working with this customer who was demanding that they deploy stuff in Azure. So the customer was deploying stuff in Azure. The outsourcer was trying to struggle to keep up with the customer's demand for putting stuff in Azure. And they didn't have a backup solution. Yeah. So they were trying to use a bunch of other backup capabilities. As we talked about a little bit in the last session, is like, you know, we'll just back it up as if it's on-premises. And so, you know, we'll have the on-premises capability. We have the virtual machines. And they were kind of doing this hybrid backup, which was quite awkward. Yeah. On top of that, then they said, well, the customer got a little bit frustrated with the situation, said, let's actually put a backup server in the cloud. And then we went through their preferred backup vendor, which was, I won't actually say what that was, but let me say this, they, again, is that supported, is it not supported, and it was kind of, a lot of argy-bargy. And so they then said, well, let's put in DPM in the cloud. And that's supported. Fantastic. But at that time, we were just in the process of going out with private preview of IaaS backup. And IaaS backup really provides a best-in-class experience for backing up stuff within Azure and to Azure in that kind of capability. And so that's what this session goes through. It's really a born-in-the-cloud capability. And so Shivam's team and some of the teams, his manager and some of the other teams have gone through and made this really, so if you have a workload in Azure, this is the best way to back it up. So let me just tell you quickly about the growth. It's absolutely been phenomenal. It's exceeded, some of the wildest expectations. If you were in the last session, there was a few questions, rightfully so, about DPM's history. And I've been in a few tech heads a number of years ago. There was a DPM product manager previously, a guy by the name of Jason Buffington. And he came out and talked about DPM 2008 and DPM 2010. And we had some hardcore people that liked DPM at the time, but you had to really be loving it. I will say this, is that the DPM team has really gone from strength to strength. They really have started kicking and being got goals going through this. And this is kind of a testament. The team was fundamentally revamped about 2 years ago, and Shivam came into the team at that time. And since then, they've started to really take a lot of the DPM capabilities, but also they started working on this kind of aspect for IaaS backup. And so from mid last year, we have grown over 10 times or 1,000% growth in terms of accelerated growth. you know, 500% growth, really, in number of servers that are backed up, so five times. And 350% growth in subscriptions, so that's, you know, 3.5 times more customers, which is pretty phenomenal, right? I think, to be fair, our backup group, you know, if you look back 3 or 4 years ago, was, well, you know, when are we going to sell it off or try to get rid of it? It's actually turned into such a growth area that even some of the other teams, like the storage platform team in Azure, struggle to keep up with the growth rate because they didn't expect that we would grow this fast, which is phenomenal. So we're looking at this kind of capabilities. You know, having the right backup strategy in the cloud is really important, right? So we want to go through and identify some common scenarios and go through that, and then really talk a bit about some of the suggested options. So when you're looking at that, there are really backups in Azure and in a lot of ways come down to kind of two key areas. Backing up a workload, so you want to have a SQL backup, an Exchange backup, a SharePoint backup, you know, item level recovery kind of capability. Or you might be a hoster, or you might be an environment, these might be deep, you know, developer machines or something that you don't, you know, are less sensitive, you need less end user granular restores, and you just back the thing up as a whole, just a chunk, yeah? And it kind of comes into two areas that way. You know, obviously here, you need to go through and protect these things because you want to have those granular restores. That's all about the restore, right? It's not about the backup. I think that's kind of I was in everything. We talk about backup forever, but no one talks about the restores, that's right? Over here, this is really about that whole, grabbing that whole thing, you know? And this is long-term retention. They both do long-term retention, but you have that kind of capability. So when you do this VM backup, you know, you have these things. Typically, you back them up in less frequently than you might a workload backup. Yeah. So, in the last session, you would have seen Data Protection Manager. Who's running Data Protection Manager here? A few of you, maybe. Okay, fantastic. I love the fact that we've got new people listening to the good stuff. If you run Data Protection Manager, you can get 15-minute incremental backups of your items you're protecting, right? So you can go and say, you know, I want to have these things, I can go back. That's pretty reasonable for granular restores, right? Oh, I made a mistake 15 minutes ago, please get that file back. A little bit extreme, but, you know, you have that kind of knobs and dials to dial that very much. It's workload aware. It means that your items, like your SQL databases, like your SharePoint folders, like your you know, mailboxes, are going to be granular restore. I want that specific area. And you know that it's in a high-quality state. Yeah? Whereas the OS backup, it's a bit like a blunt hammer, right? You're going to grab the thing and wrestle it and quiesce it and then basically put it into your backup. The nice thing is you just point and click. It's very simple to do. And so we offer both cases. And in fact, what we see is, well, more than, you know, the highest percentage of this stuff, 90% or more customers actually do both. Makes sense, right? And so quite often you'll see customers, they back up their SQL servers, and they back up their SQL servers as a workload backup. Yeah? And if you want to, you can really recover from both ways, but obviously recovering from the backup, from a virtual machine backup, you restore the virtual machine, and then you get access to the data. So when you're looking at this, as I said before, this kind of whole journey to the cloud, you know, a lot of the strategies that we see today and have seen over the past few years is that customers really look at this and they say, oh, I'm backing up today. Well, I should just back up the stuff the same as I'm doing in the cloud, you know, from the cloud and or in the cloud. And so really, they just look at a cloud basis, whether it's AWS or Azure or some other environment, and they say, well, that's just my hypervisor. I'll just back it up. And that's, you know, a way of thinking about it. But in reality, what you really need to think about is that there are efficiencies that happen in public clouds, in clouds in general, that allow you for new strategies. They help out with making sure that you get capabilities and restore points that'll make much more sense. Longer-term archiving and longer-term retention. And also, most clouds don't have native backup support. How many people use VTLs in the room? Anybody? Virtual tape libraries? So we, just real quickly, I see a customer in the past who actually compared us with another large vendor, a cloud vendor, and they have VTL support. The problem is this, is that these VTLs don't have any smarts. They, you know, they act like dumb tapes, and so once you write something to it, it doesn't look to see if it can be compressed or if it made it efficient, incrementals, what have you. And so oftentimes these things just end up with garbage and garbage and garbage and adding it into that same type of stuff. Lots of costs. So what we see is in a public cloud environment, you have this disconnect, this dissonance, where you basically have people that say, oh, I just want to do what I've done before. And what we're saying is, actually, you should think about it. You should think about a new strategy for this. And I'm going to take you through how we've made that very simple. So let's go into a little bit more into the actual solution itself. So the cool thing about IaaS backup is that there's really no downtime. You can back up 24/7, what have you, right? We take a snapshot. The snapshots are live, so you can run a virtual machine. You take a snapshot. There's no downtime for the virtual machine. We quiesce that. We give you consistency. So if it's a Windows-based virtual machine and we have virtual VSS, right, Volume Shadow Services, people are familiar with that, are they? Yeah? Volume Shadow Services is a basic thing. It allows the host or the virtual machine to quiet itself. Can you restore a domain controller?
You should be able to back up and restore the domain controller, yes.
Fantastic, absolutely. And for Linux-based virtual machines, we don't have a VSS capability. I mean, Linux in itself doesn't support that. So what we have is file system consistency. So we make sure that hopefully all the file writes are done, and then we actually have that file level consistency. But Windows-based virtual machines will be application consistent. You know, these are pretty good. Storage management, it all goes into the backup vault or the recovery vault. And then literally, we do the incrementals. All this stuff can be managed by either PowerShell or through the user interface. How many people here want me to show you PowerShell? Okay, sorry, you're going to all be disappointed. Yes, I like PowerShell, but you know, like any pre-sales engineer, I have to leaf through a book to do that stuff, but it's all there. Absolutely. So we consider this to be a big differentiator. Yes, absolutely. So the incremental backups can be done with PowerShell. Correct. Good questions. I think I have a shirt. We'll give you a shirt. I'm not going to throw one right now. Yeah. So let me just talk of just a slight kick at one of our competitors. I'm always for that. AWS, they support Elastic Block Snapshots, right? Elastic Block Storage Snapshots. And I have customers that have come to me and said, hey, hold on a second here. We just take snapshots of our EBS storage, and that's backup. And what we say is, well, it's not, actually. If you actually look at that, these things have an impact. There's no VSS consistency on their Elastic Block Storage. So coming back to this gentleman's question, if you were to do this and you had domain control and restored it, or you did this with your SQL Server or Exchange Server, you know, you're taking a crapshoot on whether this thing is actually going to restore properly, right? And so from that perspective, we put the work into our storage platform as well as the in-guest agents that you'll see. You don't set them up. They actually come in automatically. To make that happen. And then lastly, what we have is multi-disk snapshots. So you want to have a consistency group. And so we take that into account, and so you have all your disks attached to the virtual machines, and that gives you a consistency group as well. So what I'd like to do is take you through a bit of a demo. Let's see if I can switch over here and go through it. Let's get out of the presentation, so stop that, and now, how do I make sure this goes and project duplicate?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so fundamentally what I've got here is my MSDN subscription. So how many people have Microsoft Developer Network subscriptions? Okay, if you have, I'm using exactly the same thing you have. I've got an MSDN subscription Microsoft give me. You can see up here that I've got my credits. I've set up the demo. A few days ago, I set this up. I've got $163 a month left. You know, my days remaining, you know, 15 days till it runs out, it's what have you. So this is just an MSDN Visual Studio subscription. So if you want to, you can use this as part of that. Now, in order to go through this, you literally, I have real quickly here, some virtual machines. I set up a test backup. I've got a few Ignite servers and stuff of that nature, and away I go. If I scroll down here just momentarily, and you come to this, recovery services. So recovery services is where you set up all of your IaaS backup. Yeah? So how do you start with that? Let me just quickly show you how you set up a recovery vault. So you go here, recovery services, backup vault. Now, in other sessions, I think you might have seen where you want to go in Azure Site Recovery. There's a Site Recovery Vault. So you can see that they're related. We go click create, and I'm just going to create one here, and I'm going to put INF343. And I can then go and create this in any region I like. When you create a recovery vault, the recovery vault, or the backup vault here in this case, is going a backup vault is actually going to stay in that region. So number one, a large percentage of questions I get is my data going to leave the region where I specified? And the short answer is no.
Is it best to set it in another region compared to where VM is?
Yeah. Well, let me talk about that. I'm going to talk about exactly that in a second. So fantastic. So I've got all my virtual machines currently in Australia East. So I might then select Australia Southeast, right? Australia East, if you're not familiar, is in North, is in Sydney or Greater Sydney, and Southeast is in Melbourne. Now, when I go and create this vault, it's going to just go ahead and create it, and that'll take only about a minute here or less than that. I'll come back to that in a second, and I can show you how we're going to use that. So as that's creating it, I'm just going to use my pre-prepared one. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here, we'd wait a minute or so. And then when I go into this, I then have this menu that I can just literally go through, and I can scroll through what I have. So on capability, so as we talked about in the last session, INF 342, you have these vault credentials, and that's what you actually download and can plug into your DPM server so that you can back up from on-premises to the cloud or work with that backup vault. There are agents if you want to do that. So as a good example, let's say that you have an AWS workload, a Rackspace workload, a workload from any other location, a virtual machine or physical server that might be in an environment that you can't get access to the underlying capability. Well, you can actually just go ahead and download the actual agent and protect it. You can protect that directly to the cloud. And the last session went through that in detail. There's the areas of protect items. You can go through here and discover. And I'll show you that in a moment. Register your virtual machines, which is, of course, when you discover them, then you register them. And then from there, you protect them. Relatively straightforward. I mean, this is not rocket scientist. So you could also go through and do the same things on the menus at the top here. But what I'm going to do is if I just go here before I look at this and I go to my dashboard, I protected a virtual machine earlier on. You can see I've got one virtual machine Windows Server registered. I have the machine protected in the cloud. And you can see I'm using 0.22 gigabytes of storage. It's not a big virtual machine, by the way. You can see here in the last 24 hours here, I've had two backups that were successful. No backup jobs have failed, and I've got a job in progress. Why have I got a job in progress? I actually started and scheduled it so that it would start halfway through this session, or actually, I think at 11 or 12, 11:45 or 11:30 or something, and it's backing it up while we're talking. Here, you can download the agent for the workload backup. You can download the agent for the Windows Server here. See, it says here Windows Server Essentials. What question asked there. And then also, if you wanted to, again, have this integrated with System Center Data Protection Manager or the capability for Azure Backup Server. So if I look at the registered servers, registered items, I can go here. And if I want to, I can register them straight from here, down on the bottom, and I can protect them, and then I can unregister them as well. Yep, or I can discover them. So either I use the capability back here and I go through the menu system down here if I want to do some wizards, or I can go to those other areas and stuff. Let me just go like this here and go discover the virtual machines. Notice it goes to the same location anyways, and I'm going to discover these. So let's go discover. And it's going to discover in my environment all of the machines that need to be protected. So as that happens, it'll take a moment, and then there we go. Let's see what happens. Let's go to, there you go, what happened? Let's see if we can't just go and, there we go. So we go to register, and then from there, we can then select. So I've got a CentOS Linux machine. I've got a Ubuntu machine. We're open source here these days. We go Windows 10, Windows 7, 20008 R2, and there's actually a TP4 instance in my. So did anyone see that TP4 was released yesterday? Yes. They are in the same subscription, correct. So if you were in different subscriptions, you'd have to go to, currently there is no central management. We're working on that?
Yes, that's correct.
The product manager says we're working on it. Yes. Absolutely, we're working on it. It's a common question. So, yeah. Do you want to comment on any further?
No, I mean, we are working on that. We can't comment on any of the timelines right now. Yeah, another question.
Oh, so the backup storage which we have is actually a multi-tenanted storage. That's the Azure backup service. It has its own multi-tenanted storage, so it has nothing to do with the customer storage.
Let me just use this slide ahead of time here for a second.
Let's explain this.
So maybe this is the slide that we should just. I'll come back to the demo momentarily, but as we do this, the backup process. You literally have, so you go to the service, and that's what this kind of gears represent at the top. As I was clicking through and you registered the vault, what you've done when you register and create that vault is you've created this over here. But this backup vault is not in your subscription. It's actually in the IaaS, or the public, I want to say public, it's not in your subscription. It's part of our back-end services. And that service actually is registered on an endpoint that is protected, it's secure, but it's not in your IP address space. It's not technically within your subscription, okay? Correct. It's in the public peering space of the express route. It's encrypted. So we encrypt everything that goes into that backup vault. So the only person that has actually the ability to access it is the person with the encryption keys. So we can't access it. You've got the encryption keys. We don't store the encryption keys. We have the public key. You have the private key. And that backup vault or the keys are what you use to protect that. Does that make sense? It's part of the public peering system, correct? Is that, I know you work for one of these federal accounts, so is that a concern for you? I mean, it's got the 256-bit encryption.
256 AES encryption.
Correct. So the process of how this goes is basically once you have created the vault, so this is assuming that you've created the vault, you've gone and registered the virtual machines, that registration process where I went and clicked actually takes and inserts a backup extension into in alignment with the VM agent. So every virtual machine in Azure has a VM agent, right? Pretty common. And it gets a backup extension that we've written. And that backup extension then allows, when you do a snapshot or do a backup, it actually will take a snapshot of all of the disks attached to this in one fell swoop at the storage layer. So it's a bit of special code. And it tells the storage environment, let's quiesce the virtual machine and take a consistent snapshot. Once that consistent snapshot is running and is finished and completed, the virtual machine continues to run on its base disks, no problem, right? It's got its AVHDs that are there, differencing disks. And then what happens is that the deltas then can all get backed up, and the change blocks can all get backed up, and that backup process happens from your storage account to the backup vault. Yeah? Yep. Sorry? Nope. So you don't pay for any of this transfer. This is not considered outbound data transfer. None of that happens. Yeah. So this actually is in another part of Azure, right? It's in the non-customer or non-subscription part of Azure, so it's not in your subscription, but it's still a service that you get access to. So you have you created this backup vault. What you pay for is the storage that's in it and how much that data is contained in that vault. And you only pay per the megabyte or gigabyte that's in there. So?
The data, the question is that is the data deduplicated, right?
Yeah.
So today, currently, the data is not deduplicated in the Azure backup, right? But so this is like a feature I talked about in the previous session that if we build this feature, if we give the deduplication, as a customer, you don't need to pay for the computes because that's a very compute intensive operation. So we can actually offer as a premier feature, and that's the benefit why the first class ground up kind of approach which we have taken with the cloud. So we can always offer you as a feature. And we have built the base service and we'll keep offering the incremental features on top of that going forward.
I think there's also a trade-off that Microsoft have analyzed many times between the process of deduplication and the cost of that compute versus the cost of the storage.
Right.
And the benefits of incremental over dedupe or in conjunction with that. And we just see that dedupe, it adds value, but there is a bit of a diminishing returns because you actually have to go through that and make sure that is truly dedupe, right? So you can't just keep one copy of something that's referenced 100 times or 1,000 times. You lose that one bit, you know, everything all goes pear-shaped.
And most of the deduplication benefits you get only when, let's say, you have the base disks and multiple VMs getting backed up to the same location. So you have a bunch of VMs, and most of the savings come from the base copy, not from the incremental changes which you sent.
You pay less on the storage, but you might pay more on the compute.
More for the compute, exactly.
So there's a trade-off between all those things, right? And so we can offer the service without any compute charges, or you can pay for the compute charges and get the storage for less, right? And so what's the benefit? My question to you is, do you pay more for a computer or do you pay more for your storage? And it's not an easy or a simple trade-off all the time. So the virtual machines, now that they're protected, or they're registered, I should say, registration basically took that backup extension and has put that into the virtual machine agent. And then from there, we go to the protected items, and now we actually say, should we protect them? So if we go into here and we go, backup policy there. Let me go here and actually protected items. Go back, I think, is where we wanted to go. Registered items, do we then say protect them? Protect, sorry. So we can go here, and we actually then go to select the items we protect. So from the protect, again, we've registered them, so they have the backup extension in them, and then I can just go here and select a few of these. I'll just select three of them, and we'll protect them. And then the protection, we have to then have a policy. So I've created a policy or two already, but I'll walk through the actual policy process. So I've got a policy and one called test policy here. We're in honor of my colleague, I'm going to make this Shivam's policy. And then from here, you notice we got the tooltips. I can go here and then say, what would I like to do? Backup frequency, daily or weekly? Yeah, this is, now these are virtual machine backups we were talking about here for IaaS. So here I can go in and let's actually then select, let me go down and unselect. This menu is kind of an interesting one because you have to unselect and then you come back and you select it which day or which time of the day you'd like that. So it's 12 o'clock. Let's make this for 12:30 here. And I'm going to select 12:30 p.m. That's right. Oh, sorry. Fat finger, sorry. Let me go back into the one of the policies for a second here, and I'll just go back in and show you. So in the policy, which I just actually went through, there's the policy name. I go in, it's Azure Virtual Machines, when this thing actually gets backed up, and then I have the retention. So the retention here is pretty extensive. So you can have, and go in here and say, I'd like to have them backed up for 180 days, or you can actually put in any number you like. I think the last session, we showed in here, you can, put in like 300 or whatever you like. Or if you'd like to, let's just put in here as typically 7 days, maybe a week. How many weeks would you like? What have you? But you can put in here, I think one of the last, they said in here 384 or whatever 7 years is. You can just put that in like that if you want. What's the limit? Oh, 260.
Yeah.
Now, if you wanted to, 99. So this is fundamentally just the ability, and you can then say I'd like it on the first or the first day of the month or the first week of a day or whatever the case is, the first day of the week or something of that nature. So it's a pretty extensive capability just to select what you like.
And the point to make is this is exactly the same backup policy which you see in the System Center DPM or on the Azure backup server. So the whole philosophy that whether you run your workloads on-premise in the private cloud or public cloud, you get the same experience across different clouds. That's exactly what we have implemented here.
Fantastic. So from there, this policy, I've already protected some workloads, and these workloads are showing up right here, and away you go. So if I kind of come back to the my vault, you can see just I had my existing vault and I've got the registered items. Now I have protected items for this vault. Now you see that the backups are going through an initial backup process, initial backup pending, and that'll go through. If I wanted to stop a protection, I can just stop a protection, or I can actually say backup now if I haven't, want to do something specific. Configuration, relatively, again, straightforward. So you can see here that in this case, the default backup vault is actually geo-redundant. Or sorry.
It is locally redundant.
Locally redundant, my apologies. When you create this, if you create this with a command line set or with a PowerShell, you can make it GRS. Is that right?
No, once you have started protecting the objects, you cannot change it. So it has to be done before you start protecting the items. So when you create the vault, you need to pick whether you want to go with the locally redundant or GRS. GRS gives you 6 copies of data. So 3 in the same data center and 3 in the paired data center. So Australia East, if that is your primary data center, it is paired with Australia Southeast, right? So you get 3 copies here and 3 copies in the Southeast.
Absolutely. So if you look at that basis, coming back to your questions, which are very good at the back end, there is that you can actually have your, here's the other vault that I've created. Now I've backed up with my examples a moment ago, the virtual machines in the same data center. And that might be perfectly good for test and dev, fat fingers, stuff like that. But if I wanted to, I can actually go through here and I can register my virtual machines from Sydney Let me go back here and discover them for a second. Sorry. Discover them. And then from Sydney, and then I can protect them down to Melbourne. And that would be fine here, just as it goes in and grabs those protection bits here. So once they do that, I should be able to have them registered. They still haven't come
back. They have already been registered. The backup extension is already installed.
Ah,
I think you need to protect them.
Ah, there you go. So let's go and protect them. Oh, where's this? They're not showing up.
Is it the right vault, or you had another vault, I think?
Yeah, do they have to be all, I have to get them out of the one vault. I think I might have to. Register, I have to unregister them from this vault, don't I? So I'd have to, let me take this one and I'll just unregister it. That's what I did. Registered them to one vault. Let me go over here, and I'll go here. Oh, too much mouse clicks. Let's go here to register this. Now I have to discover them, don't I? Anyways, you can go through and discover them, and then you can register them so you can back them up from between Sydney to Melbourne or vice versa.
Extension is already installed. That is why you keep getting this no items to display. You need to protect them.
Anyways, I won't bother droning on about that. So it goes on, and you can go through and configure the policies as we've shown you here, and of course you can see the jobs as they go through here and stuff. And so all these are available to review and then go from there. You can export them as well. Yes, there's a reason. Because it's not available yet in the new portal. So this is one, let me briefly describe to you the process. The new portal is a platform or a kind of a group which a lot of teams are have to align with. And the DPM team has a schedule to do that.
Yes.
But it's not happened yet. So it's a work in progress.
Work in progress, and there is no specific time frame, but we plan to finish that work and announce it in the Q1 of the next calendar year.
So
by
what's
March,
that?
Before March.
Before the end of March.
Yeah.
Correct.
They can all see the same jobs.
Yes.
That'll
come in the new portal. Yeah, that's part of the ARM Azure Resource Manager and role-based access control. Correct.
What's your recommendation? Do we need to wait until the new feature?
Well, you already...
But otherwise, we have to migrate everything again to the version
2. So I would say let's have a chat offline. I mean, I can provide you some recommendation on how to go. Right now, what we actually tell the customers that per subscription basis, you know, you can go and look at all your items, look at your all the objects. But yeah, if you have a branch office, head office kind of scenario where you need different kind of role-based access, then you need to wait till the feature actually ships.
So there's certainly there's going to be some later announcements about how that type of stuff would be a best practice for shifting to the new ARM-based capability. Yeah. Yep. Sorry, two questions. One.
I didn't get the question.
So repeat the question here. If somebody goes and deletes the vault or...
If you delete the vault, then all the backups actually get deleted. So you should not be deleting the vault.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So some feedback that I've already personally given to the program team, and also that I've had from other customers and partners, exactly that. So two scenarios which are still yet, you know, I think are going to be hopefully brought out. But obviously having protected items across subscriptions, right? Also having, as you said, some of this stuff. So our Azure Resource Manager will go a long way to helping some of those things because you'll get role-based access control, but more granularity on that stuff. In terms of recovery, recovering into another region or recovering into another subscription. Again, these works are feedback that I've provided personally. Shiva,
I would say this is a journey. We just actually went preview, I think, 5-6 months back, and GA like 2 months back on this. By the way, the growth is phenomenal. When Reid talked about the 10 times, you know, the backup data in our service, majority of that growth is coming from the Azure ISVM. So we know that the snapshot-based approach, which our competitors used to talk about, is not sufficient, and that's why people actually want to back up their Azure ISVMs.
So, I mean, even yesterday or the day before, there was, again, another set of updates that came out. I've got a slide on. So, yeah, this thing is, again, continuously being, updated and improved. It's, as a company, Microsoft are moving forward with Azure Resource Manager, but it's not something that we can just stop the rest of everybody doing their work while everybody shifts over to this other capability, right? And so that's kind of how we're in this middle of this transition phase. I know there's a question the back, you in the green, I think. Yep. So once the workloads get deregistered or the machines get unregistered, does the backups remain?
Yes, you have the time. There is for a few days, I don't remember the exact days, the backup will be there, so you can get it back.
Sorry.
It does not get deleted. So it is like, think about this, you're kind of stopping the protection, but you retain the data for a few days. That is the typical Azure policy. Yeah, you will not exactly, because since you have unregistered, the data will not be there for 10 years. It will only be for a certain period. If you don't claim the data in that, because you have stopped paying probably for that data source, right?
Once you unregister a machine, you're no longer paying for having that machine protected, right? That's terrible. Hold on a second here. Right. So. Well, there's no compute, right? It's just
the
protection.
VM, but you need to protect that VM. You need to have it in your subscription store, right? You might kill that, but you want that historically retained. And you're saying, if you get rid of this VM, you can't keep that retained. That's terrible.
Or if you decommission a machine.
Yeah.
Just don't need to retain it. It's like a monthly charge. It's more than the storage cost.
Yep. There you go.
Okay.
There's some feedback.
Feedback?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
For that? Are you an extra large or a large?
To the lady dear.
No.
I think we need to give it at
Fantastic.
The back also.
Yeah.
A couple of t-shirts
We've got some
at
shirts
the back.
There.
The two ladies.
Start to hand out some shirts, Shivam.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were at a question. So we'll give you a shirt as well. There was one other question, I think, here, and then I'll come back to you. Yes. Correct. Right. So the question was the Azure backup as a service and then the native backup inside of Azure, are they going to be coming together or are they going to be two separate lines? I'm not going to speak on behalf of the product team. Let me just tell you what I've heard, and then Shiva might have some comments here on the future direction. I don't know if he's allowed to comment.
Talk about the future direction. Right now, most of the feedback is coming on that we don't protect the ARM VMs, right? The V2 VMs.
He's talking about the actual Azure backup server or DPM versus Azure backup in the virtual machine, IaaS backup. Are they going to come together or are they going to stay apart or what's the direction on that?
So what do you mean by coming together? Like the Azure backup is the service, and you will have different servers. Like, for example, for enterprises, it is going to be system-centered DPM, protecting all kind of workloads. For small and medium businesses, it is going to be Azure backup server because you don't want to pay for the system-centered licensing, right? So these are different ways to get the data into the Azure backup service.
Yep.
Did I answer the question or?
Right.
Yeah.
But then probably in some way you might be able to get the same functionality
Right.
And that's what I was thinking about, because there's two products right now, right?
Yes.
No, so
we will not merge the Azure Backup Server and the SCDPM, because Azure Backup Server is also like a stripped down version of System Center DPM, right? So it's more of a licensing, different licensing to cater to a different segment, right?
So whoever running the DPM at the moment don't need to get the backup server.
No, in fact, DPM has Azure Backup Server plus additional capability to go to tape, to be monitored and managed with SCOM, and connect with VMM and other things.
Yeah. So if you're an enterprise customer already, you have the System Center licenses, we recommend you to use DPM.
Correct.
Yeah,
right? But if you don't have System Center licensing, you are a small and medium business customer, then we ask you to get the Azure Backup Server and pay only for like pay as you go, protected instance, and also like the storage.
So I'm going to take two more questions here, and then I'll get on with some more slides.
Is there a plan in the future to get rid of the DPM agent?
No. No, I don't.
So that's
the question I'm asking, because you can ship the backups right now without the products, without the agent installed.
So did you, so let me understand. So I think the intent of the question is to go agentless somehow, right? I think it's a great question. And this is exactly the direction we want to take. So slowly, as I said, right, we will actually build the incremental features. So like, let's say tomorrow you have to protect SQL in Azure, right? You should not be actually going and installing the agent yourself. It should be like backup extension, which happens behind the scenes.
So that's the reason why we actually dropped DPM and went to
Veeam. Right.
Great question. So I think this is, so everything is a roadmap, right? So if I give this feature, you may not get Azure IS VM. So it's like limited resources. We have bunch of items in the plate, and we are trying to, you know, knock them off one by one.
The link where you can give these feedback to. So absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to deprecate the agent, though, right? You're going to give
customers
a choice.
No, it will be like you won't know about it, basically. It could be done behind the scenes.
Yeah, but I mean, right. Like, if I have 1,000 VMs.
Exactly. As a customer, I completely understand that.
So just like the extension that I showed earlier on. Sorry, you had one question, then I'm going to get on with some more. No, so Azure Backup Server, I'll show you briefly, but basically Azure Backup Server would run in a virtual machine. It's more traditional backup. Azure Backup Server works on premises. It's part of Azure Backup as a branding, but think of it more like Data Protection Manager. Correct, but it runs in the cloud, so you can protect it in the cloud. And obviously, at that point, then you, with that agent, which is a DPM agent, you'll get granular level backup of SharePoint, a SQL, and Exchange, and these other areas, right?
But if I want to backup a full machine, and I want to backup SQL.
You can do both at the same time.
I'm installing two.
Well, you don't install the agent here, right? Because it kind of comes along as
your,
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I was doing
my
on-prem machine.
Yes.
Is the same.
It's
for
the
on-premise, for the on-premise, if you want to do, let's say, machine backup and the SQL backup, it's the same agent.
Correct. And
the same agent does both.
Yeah. And if you're running Hyper-V, then it would capture the whole VM as well. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think I talked about two things, the ARM VMs, the V2 VMs, and the premium storage. So based on the feedback we hear from you guys, by the way, I think maybe you should show the page where we take the feedback from the customers.
Sure, jump all the way to the end of my slide deck.
Okay. Yeah, we already
just
have
the
link.
For a moment.
So please give the feedback. What we do is that we keep looking at the votes. You know, how many people voted for a feature, and whichever pops up at the top, that is exactly what we go and start working on.
Absolutely. So again, just a slide here briefly that just mentions that if we. If you have a virtual machine or you have an environment that basically you might have a large volume that you've set up, but it's only using 15 gigabytes of data. In this case, the initial replication or the initial backup would only have the 15 gig, right? I mean, that makes sense. Why would we do the rest? But obviously, it goes and takes a checksum and then writes out to your backup vault. As we do the incremental backups just take the blocks that have changed, right? I mean, this should be standard stuff, but you'd be surprised how often we see other vendors and stuff that'll scan through things anyways. It especially happens in the cloud kind of stuff because they are less that. As I've shown you and some of the backups that are running on my account already, what we see is that customers typically think in a legacy mode when it comes to their backup schedules for cloud, born in the cloud type of applications. We had a last session, there was a question, you know, I have a 24-hour backup window, I use 8 hours for backing up, then I use another, you know, 16 hours to shovel stuff up to the cloud. And you have those issues when you're talking about on-premises capabilities. But in the cloud, you have the capability to actually back up 24/7 if you'd like to, right? And that should not, to say caveat, should not actually impact your performance, your workload, but you do have to understand the underlying storage capabilities, and I'll show you a slide on that momentarily. So in this slide, I just wanted to kind of highlight one or key area, or maybe one area and 2 points. The underlying storage platform for blobs, storage blobs, or block blobs, basically have some limits, right? You know, we want to avoid the noisy neighbor syndrome. You have one customer X and another customer Y, and what they really want to do is make sure that you're not, you know, stopping one at the other versus the other. And so each storage account has a 20,000, and I'm talking about standard storage here now, I'm not talking about premium storage, so this would also apply to premium storage with different limits. But you have 20,000 IOPS for a storage account, and each actual disk, you get 500 IOPS, yeah? And so you literally divide these two out, and you get 40 disks, and that's fantastic. So customers come along, and they say, great. Each of my virtual machines, let's say I use 40, you know, they use 500 IOPS each, so I create 40, you know, virtual machines, and they each have one attached disk, and you go, fantastic, no problem. Until you start to do a backup. And remember when I showed you that backup slide earlier on where it has a snapshot? Well, those snapshots are virtual disks, right? And so then we're going to transfer using those virtual disks, the differencing disks, to the backup vault. How, at what rate? As fast as we are allowed by the underlying platform. And so what does that mean? That for every virtual disk that you create, if you want to back it up without impacting the performance of your overall storage account, what do? You have to have, in essence, another reserve that IOPS if you don't want them to have impact. Or the other thing is you have a different protection policy for different things and schedule so that they all don't happen together. Now, when you're starting to do backup or virtual machines in IaaS in the cloud anyways, you're going to see that you're going to have more storage accounts anyways. Make sure that you don't have your storage accounts where all the IOPS go into one storage account versus another. Yeah?
This is correct.
That's a public service. I don't know the specifics
there
of that.
There is no limit on the vault. It is like it gives you illusion of infinity.
So some of those things we control the IOPS behind the scenes and stuff. So it's a question that I can't answer because I don't have the information, but I've not heard of any issues with that.
Yeah.
So what are some of the features? Again, customers, since we've gone from public preview to general availability, I think in late August or early September, we went into general availability. So obviously the PowerShell stuff is there, so that's a pretty great thing. Offline VM backups, it doesn't matter whether the virtual machines are running or not, we'll still protect them. Long-term retention, minus, I guess, if they were unregistered. Disks restores. So you can restore to a different storage account if you'd like to perform. There are some, obviously, in the preview, we had a few accounts that were had some performance areas. And then, as I showed you, you can export some of these things, export the job list and alerts. Interestingly enough, and we talked about our pace of innovation, this is actually announced in a blog post by your peer.
Yes.
Wednesday night, or was it Thursday night? Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Yeah. So we woke up, and I got in my mailbox with Shivam three, you know, four new features fundamentally. One of them is BitLocker virtual machine, so a BitLocker encryption with a third-party encryption capability, which is called Cloud Link. I understand that BitLocker native from Microsoft will be as on the list for prioritization. Multi-NIC virtual machines, again, a small bit there, but they were slightly different. We back up virtual machines behind load balancers now. There was, again, a small area there, and then also reserved IP addresses. Now, these don't look like lots, but there's a lot of little areas and stuff that we continue to do to make sure this works behind the scenes.
And basically, it's not a story, right? On Tuesday, I was sitting at the Microsoft booth, and two customers actually asked exactly these questions, that when are you guys going to support it? And I said, we are working on it, and as soon as it is available, we'll do it. And the next day, I see that the blog has already gone live. So that's the speed. Like any features you ask, if we finish it early, we just go and blog about it.
So there's just a release.
So don't wait for anything like, oh, next 3 days is in Jan, so I'm going to wait till Jan. No. As soon as it is done, we go and blog it.
Yeah, and then and they just come into the platform natively as a service. It just gets enabled. And so when you're looking at this process, Microsoft are on this cadence for releasing software now. It's not like we have to wait for another release vehicle, another 2 years or another year, and say, oh, guess what? It's or in the next quarter. On the cloud side, it's just full throttle, right? So if there aren't areas here, and I think you guys have obviously come up with one today, which maybe is a very good suggestion. Do that. Now, I don't know how that would work in terms of how you pay for it, maybe, or how that fits in, but certainly there's area there. What's coming? Talk to us about what's coming.
So virtual machine support on the premium storage, you asked about it, and also the ARM VM, as I said. The expectation is that it will be live by Q1 of next calendar year. Right, and some of the other items, the Ibiza portal integration that is needed even for supporting the ARM VMs. So that will also come at the same time, and the central management, where you need to protect your, you need to manage whether you are running your SQL servers on premise or you are running something in Azure. Our vision is that we need to have single pane of glass, which actually so that because most of the enterprises are going to be in the hybrid mode. At least for next decade, for the foreseeable future. So they want to have one pane of glass where they can actually monitor, protect everything at one place. So we will start with monitoring, we'll go to reporting, we'll keep adding more and more features into that center portal. And that will be integrated with operations management suite, the one which Brad Anderson talked about in his keynote, that is like, think about that as system center in the cloud.
So. Just to round out this portion, and before I hand over to Shivam in a moment to show you a little bit about Azure Backup Server, and that is pricing. Pricing is exactly the same as other Azure Backup for from on-prem to the cloud. But basically, if your virtual machine is under half or 50 gigabytes, it's considered a half a protected instance in terms of a unit. If it's between greater than 50 gigabytes and per 500 gigabytes, it would be one protected instance. So if your virtual machine and the data stored in it, I don't care how many disks you attach, you can attach, each VHD is a terabyte, you might have 16 disks, you have 16 terabytes attached, but you have 501 gigabytes of data, right? Then that becomes two protected instances. Yeah, make sense? And you pay $10. The link here actually here is that. But this is $5 US. You look up the local pricing. And this would be $10 per for each protected instance. Make sense? And then you, once that's written down to the disk, you pay for whatever the storage costs are for that disk. Yeah? So Azure Workload Backup. Do you want to
go
through this?
Let me just move to my machine. Yeah. By the way, you talked about the PowerShell, right? This is the page where we have all the PowerShell commandlets that how to deploy and manage the backup for the Azure VM. So I think you asked that question right at the back. So we already have documented it. And it's not like in the last 10 minutes, by the way. This is something which was done way back. But if you just go through it, it tells you how to actually do the setup, registration, backup the virtual machines, monitor, and restore. Everything through PowerShell. And you can script it. You can have maybe thousands of Azure IaaS VMs and use these scripts. Feel free to do that.
Fantastic. Kay? Good on Ashish.
So, yeah.
The guy who wrote
thanks to Ashish, yes. So let me talk about Azure Backup Server. So I think it looks like how many of you still have some questions on Azure Backup Server, because we talked about it during this presentation and also the last one. I would like to take any questions first before I go into the demo.
Do people use DPM today, then you'd know Azure Backup Server. But Azure Backup Server is sort of this.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you want to go through your slides? Or
yeah, I'll just go through the slides. Okay, let me go through the slides first. Okay. So this is the recommendation from Microsoft. So let's say if you're running files and folders, you have only files and folders, you can use the Mars agent, right? And backup the file folders to Azure. If you have Microsoft workloads running like SQL Exchange, SharePoint, et cetera, you can use System Center DPM if you're enterprise customers. And if you're running Linux, then you can use the Azure VM backup. That's our story so far. So what did we do? What is the Azure Backup Server? Think about this as kind of System Center DPM for the SMB segment, small and medium business. If you are SMB, you don't have the System Center licensing, you can use this Azure Backup Server to protect the Microsoft workloads and file folders, right? So what is this Azure Backup Server? So people who understand System Center DPM think about the same software, but it is like a stripped down version of that. What does it not have? It does not give you the capability to protect the data onto the tape infrastructure, onto the tape media, right? And the reason for that is because any SMB customers we talk to, they say, I don't need tapes. Actually, I want something in the cloud. I want to integrate with cloud. Because tapes, A, they need to buy the tape media. Then you need a guy who actually has to ship this tape to maybe some offsite location, or they need to maintain on their site. So it's huge cost. The management TCO is very high for that. And then we remove the System Center kind of pieces. It doesn't integrate with System Center VMM and SCOM, because again, the SMB segment does not need any of that. And on top of that, we gave the benefits of the Azure backup pricing, as Reed explained. So even if I want to protect data on disk for, let's say, 7 days or 30 days, nothing to cloud, still you can use the Azure backup server. Okay? So even if you want to do D2D, you can use Azure backup server. The same protected instances we talked about, you do that. If you want D2D2C, 7 to 30 days on disks, remaining in the cloud, you can again use the same pricing. So if you backup file folders, if you go to the portal, you see a link for Windows Server or System Center, and the name was called Mars Agent Installer. So when we were thinking about the name for the Azure backup server, the code name became Venus. You know, it's quite obvious. So some of the analysts actually, they tweeted, they blogged about it. So Venus became quite popular. It was the project code name, but the actual official name is the Azure Backup Server for backing up applications to Azure. So let me show you a quick demo of what it does. So what I have done is I created a vault. Vault creation you have already seen. I registered two Azure backup servers to the same vault, right? And yeah, so this is the first Azure backup server where I'm protecting SQL. So if you see here, this SQL, I am protecting on the disk for like 5 days, because I don't need to protect for 30 days on disk, because anytime I want something from the cloud, I can always get it back. And with the 15-minute kind of synchronization, so for SQL kind of workloads, you want to protect a SQL at a 15-minute frequency. And online, I am protecting for 6 months right now. So what do you do? Let's say you want to change the retention. So I'll say modify protection group. It's very similar to the System Center DPM. I pick the same workload, go to the next, pick the database. And this is where actually you see the same thing, what you saw with the System Center DPM. You can backup, you know, on a daily basis, weekly, monthly, and yearly. But our recommendation is you should be sending the data maybe, let's say, once a day or once a week. But when it comes to retention, you can pick, let's say, 52 weeklies, maybe 12 monthlies for a year, and then you can go up to 99 years. So I'll just quickly make it 99, just to show you that how easy it is to go change the policy and just update the group. So now, if you are running your Microsoft workloads in Azure ISVM, you can actually spin up, you can use the Azure backup server running in ISVM and start protecting your workload. So you do VM backups and you also do the SQL kind of workload backup. Okay, any questions on this? It is the same policy which we showed for Azure ISVM, the same richness, it is there in the on-prem world as well. Whether you use System Center DPM or Azure Backup Server or Azure ISVM, the policies are exactly the same.
So when you say
So let's say you have been sending on a monthly basis. We prefer actually, you know. So think about like when you restore, it is everything is like incremental.
Yeah.
So from the customer standpoint, think about one file for 12 months as 1 yearly backup.
So
Yeah, everything is incremental. We never send the full copies. Only first copy is full. That's it.
So your concern is about the speed of the recovery for that.
Oh, so that is a great question that, you know, how do you recover it? So our goal is, like, for example, are you aware of, like, how we do the item recovery from SharePoint farm on-prem from the disk?
In terms of what speed? You're talking about the entire virtual machine?
Right. Yeah. So, but most of the restore scenarios, right, even if you are backing the entire machine, typically your restore scenarios are like getting a file back. Is that correct? Like whether it is SharePoint or Hyper-V VM or full machine. So the whole idea is that I should be able to back up the full machine, but I should be able to get one item back. So for SharePoint, what we did, that rather than getting the entire form back, right, we actually get only the content database back on-prem, which is the SharePoint recommendation is that content DB should not go beyond 200 GB.
Yeah.
But our goal is to actually go to a level, if I need a file from the form, I should just get that file back from the cloud.
Yeah, typically if you're restoring a whole virtual machine, it's less time sensitive from a total restore perspective. And then on top of that, you end up having protection recovery points, which are consolidated or easier to restore.
Okay, so after the demo, this slide kind of, you know, explains that what should you do in your environment. So VM backup is something which we recommend, don't do it like beyond once a day. Once a day is good enough. Whether your VM gets corrupted, OS gets corrupted, you just get the VM back. And then if you have file folders, you can do it like thrice a day. But for a workload like SQL, we recommend you to do like a 15-minute kind of backup if it's a critical workload. And then you get more fidelity, but and you do it like a more frequent backup, whether you use System Center DPM or you use Azure Backup Server. So coming back to the pricing, I think we discussed that already. Any questions on the pricing front? I explained that even if you do disk-to-disk backup and you are a SMB customer, even if you are not sending any data to the cloud, you can still use the Azure Backup Server. And you don't need the System Center license for that. Okay? So with that, how many of you are aware of Operations Management Suite, the one which... Great, so like 30 to 40% at least are aware of that. So backup and DR are the few use cases why customers are moving to the public cloud, and backup and DR, the Azure backup and Azure site recovery are the two key services in that OMS suite. And when we say that with standard you get two VMs, read it as two protected instances. Replace the word VMs by protected instances. The reason I say that is because I might be protecting SQL, right? So in the backup world, everything is like protected instances. So if you have a 1 terabyte SQL server, you get maybe one SQL server, one TB here. Don't read it as two VMs. Okay? So customers count the protected instances here. That's it, I mean.
Yep. So just recapping, obviously we've gone through a number of the key value capabilities and the value for customers on this. We think relative to our competitors, at least AWS, we have a value proposition. Correct me if I'm wrong, they really don't have, they don't have a solid backup service capability in their environment. You know, we certainly are working to extend this, and the operations management suite grouping or framework is something that we are continuing to evolve and extend. And so you're, you know, what you're seeing in this calendar and fiscal year from Microsoft is the start of that journey. We have a number of things that are in there throughout the conference here. You've seen stuff on Azure Site Recovery, a couple of sessions here on backup, obviously sessions on log analytics and some of those things. And this is part of that grouping, and there's going to be more coming out. Question? So the question was to have multi-subscriptions or have visibility across subscriptions. So when you're logging, when you see log analytics as the kind of primary pane with all the dials and stuff of that nature, I can't answer the question to be short. I would assume that that's the case because I know that request has come up. And with all these features, everything in the Azure team, when you're looking at all of these capabilities, all the product teams now are on a cadence and literally they sort. So go to the feedback page, which I think is other sessions. So just real quickly, I'll come to the feedback page in a second. But there are other vendors. I also want to point out this. There are other vendors, Veeam and Commvault and other vendors that Microsoft as a whole support. My good friend Shivam here is from the Data Protection Manager team, and you know, obviously they have a competing product, but you know, we also support Commvault, we also support Veeam, we support other backup vendors, and you know, what we should do is offer a value proposition in that range of ecosystems. So feel free to look at those other products, and it's not a one size fits all. Potentially, you might have that. Lastly here, I've given you some links here in these slides when you download them. These are some pretty reasonable videos to do that if you want to have a look at them, and there's some overviews that you might look at. Feedback. This is the kind of last link I want to leave. Oh, you wanted that? You'll get the slides, but if you want to take a picture, you can look at them, the slides, you know, they'll be posted. But the feedback, just coming back to your point, is the entire cadence of Microsoft this down comes on feedback. So if you're passionate about this stuff, you have a great suggestion, you know, go to this link, provide your feedback. People like myself and Shivam and other people, anybody, will be able to vote her up or down. And that is where the product teams across them all will stack rank them and basically say, hey, guess what? We're going to do from the top down the biggest bang for the buck. And that happens time and time again. And so every, when I talk to customers, we say, listen, tell us what you think, because it really does impact it. And I've seen this a number of times. So on that note, we've gone through question and answers already, so feel free to continue that. But, appreciate your feedback. And thank you for coming. I do have some shirts still left up here, so I think one or two answers happened. So.
Oh, you got it already? Okay.
I've got large, two large, and an XL. Oh, yeah? Did you get a... Okay, does anyone want an XL?
I have XL. XL? Okay.
Large. Yes.